all dead in their home. Gone forever. Taken from life in the most outrageous manner possible, by a deranged mind hell-bent on violence. Their killer was no longer among the living, but that was of absolutely no solace to Decker, though he'd been instrumental in ending that life. That was why his birthday visit was at a cemetery. No cake and no presents. Just fresh flowers on a grave to replace ones long dead from a previous visit. He figured he would be here for every one of Molly's birthdays until he joined his family 6 feet under. That was his long-term plan. He had never contemplated any other. He shifted his weight on the wood and wrought iron bench next to the twin graves, for daughter lay next to mother. The bench had been gifted by the Burlington Police Department, where Decker had once toiled, first as a beat cop and later as a homicide detective. On it, tarnished by weather, was a brass plaque that read, "In memory of Cassie and Molly Decker." There was no one else in the small cemetery other than Decker's partner at the FBI, Alex Jameson. More than a dozen years younger than the mid-40-ish Decker, Jameson stood a respectful distance away, allowing her partner to visit his family in solitude. Once a journalist, Jameson was now a fully-fledged, duly sworn-in FBI special agent, having graduated from the Bureau's training academy in Quantico, Virginia. Under a prior arrangement, she had been sent immediately back to the task force, where she and Decker were members, along with two other veteran agents, Ross Bogart and Todd Milligan. Sitting next to the graves, Decker cursed his condition of hyperthymesia. The perfect recall had been initiated by a wicked blindside hit on an NFL playing field that triggered a traumatic brain injury. Decker awoke from a coma with the ability to remember everything and the inability to forget anything. It seemed like a wonderful attribute, but there was a distinct downside to the condition. For him, the passage of time would never deaden the details of painful memories, like the one he was confronted with presently. For the overwhelmingly intense manner in which he recalled their deaths, Cassie and Molly might as well have been laid to rest today instead of 4 years ago. He read the names and inscriptions on the tombstones, though he knew by heart what they said. He had come here with many things he wanted to say to his family, but now he inexplicably suffered from a complete failure to articulate any of them. Well, maybe not so inexplicably. The brain injury that had given him perfect recall had also changed his personality. His social skills had gone from high to quite low. He had trouble voicing his emotions and difficulty dealing with people. In his mind's eye, he conjured first the image of his daughter. It was sharply in focus, the curly hair, the smile, the cheeks that rode so high. Then the image of his wife, Cassie, appeared, the anchor of their family, the one who had kept Decker from succumbing to his condition, forcing him to interact with others, compelling him to come as close as possible to the man he used to be. He winced in pain because it actually physically hurt to be so close to them, because they were dead and he was not. There were many days, perhaps most, when he simply could not accept that state of affairs. He glanced in the direction of Jameson, who was leaning against a broad oak about 100 feet away. She was a good friend, an excellent colleague, but absolutely powerless to help him through what he was facing now. He turned back to the graves, knelt, and placed the bundles of flowers he had brought on each of the sunken plots.
"Amos Decker?"
Decker looked up to see an older man walking slowly toward him. He had materialized out of the dusk of elongating shadows. As he drew closer, the man almost seemed a ghost himself, so very painfully thin, his features deeply jaundiced. Jameson had seen the man coming before Decker did, and had started striding toward them. It could simply be someone from the town whom Decker knew, or it might be something else. Jameson knew that crazy things tended to happen around Amos Decker. Her hand went to the butt of the pistol riding in a holster on her right hip, just in case. Decker eyed the man. Aside from his unhealthy appearance, the fellow was shuffling along in a way that Decker